If you would please turn with me to Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 23. Follow along with me, please, as I read. Then it came about, after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. Then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" Then they said to him, "We have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches, and as it was budding, its blossoms came out, its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only keep me in mind, please, or keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably, he said to Joseph, "I also in my dream saw, and behold, there were 3 baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top basket there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." Then Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you." Thus it came about on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. That's a lot of words and a lot of story. And it does a couple of different things. First off, the dreams bring back the idea of dreams in Joseph's narrative. He started off, what got him in trouble first off, other than giving his father a bad report about his brothers, it was his dreams. Telling his brothers and telling his father about the dreams, about how they're all going to bow down to him. That upset his brothers, and that was one of the things that got him sent to Egypt as a slave. Now the idea of dreams is entered back into the story. In this place, though, it's him interpreting other people's dreams. It's the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. These are just like Potiphar is referred to as the chief of the captain of the bodyguard. He is the chief, you might say. These are high-ranking officials. It's kind of a funny thing in European monarchies. You have the king. And when he eats, there is a lord of the napkin, and there's a lord of the cup, and there's all these different... And these people are titled. They have lands that they don't live at, usually, because they're at the king's house, his residence, and they take care of him to make sure he eats. And they're in charge of these different items. I remember seeing the movie Marie Antoinette, I think it was, the one that... came out a few years ago, and it's really funny because Marie, she wakes up in the morning and there's all these women, all these ladies in waiting, and they're all, you know, actual ladies. Their fathers are lords or have titles. And they're all there to help her get dressed. And there's a responsibility as to who gets to get the dress, and then she hands it to the next one, and she hands it to the next one, and she hands it to the next one. And unfortunately, as Marie Antoinette is waiting for her dress to come up to her body and she is cold, another lady shows up and she outranks everybody else. And so they all have to bow to her, and then she has to take her position, and then the dress has to be given to her so that she can then give it to Marie Antoinette. And it's all this mess. And all that to say, these officials, the chief cupbearer, the chief baker, they are important people. They are not servants. They are not slaves. They serve Pharaoh, but they serve him in the most important ways. One provides all the food that Pharaoh eats. The other provides all the drink that Pharaoh drinks. They are responsible for all that goes into his body. And these are the ways, if somebody didn't like Pharaoh, that they could easily get rid of Pharaoh through poisoning. In fact, cupbearers oftentimes had the responsibility of drinking out of the cup to make sure there was nothing wrong with it first. Not a job I would really relish. But these were their jobs. And in some way, somehow, they offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Notice how repetitive this passage is. That's one of the things, if you took out all the repetition, it would be a lot shorter. The king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. How many times do we say that they are in confinement? He put them in confinement. They were in confinement. They had dreams while they were in confinement. Joseph came to them. He was also confined with him. They were the officials who were with him in confinement. I mean, the author of Genesis really wants us to understand the situation, that they are confined in jail. It looks like maybe they're still in the house of Potiphar, because they're in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, but they're in the jail. So as bad as getting thrown into jail, we were talking about it last Sunday night, and I think the agreement was this was a minimum security prison type place. This was a white-collar country club jail. You know, it was a nicer jail than general population or high maximum security type places. Joseph is in there with officials and with high-ranking people. And these two guys are some of the highest-ranking people you could possibly have. They are so responsible for Pharaoh's life. And yet, we don't know what they have done. All we know is they have offended him. They have sinned against Pharaoh, basically. And he has become angry with them, and he has thrown him in jail. They're confined, they're put into Joseph's charge, and they are there for some time. We don't know how long, but they are there for some time. And then it happens that they both have dreams. Their dreams are eerily similar. Three clusters of grapes, three baskets. The clusters have triplets. The clusters bud, blossom, and produce. Pharaoh's cup happens to be in his hand. He takes the grapes, he squeezes it out, and he hands it to Pharaoh. The difference in the two dreams is that while the cupbearer is very active, Pharaoh's cup is in my hand. I squeeze them into the cup. I place the cup into Pharaoh's hand. There's triplet, the cup. The difference, though, for the baker is, even though he's got the three baskets, they seem to be stacked on his head. And the top one has all sorts of baked goods, which would be his business. Just as the cupbearer is getting the wine, he has all the baked goods, all the goodies in the top basket. But he isn't actively serving Pharaoh. Instead, the birds are coming and just taking the food away out of the basket. And their dreams start out the same, and the interpretation even starts out the same. The interpretation is, in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head. Now, some translations, I purposely skipped over it. My translation actually says for the chief baker, he will lift up your head from off your body and from you and will hang you on a tree. As, I know the NIV has like lift up your head off your body. The language, the wording is exactly the same in both interpretations. Pharaoh, lift up your head. And the lifting up of their head is basically the calling them out of prison and having them be presented before Pharaoh. If you could have the image of people being bowed down and the king lifting up their head or allowing them to raise their head so that they might look up. The one he restores, the other one he condemns. That's where their dreams take divergent paths. You know, the chief cupbearer is going to be restored in 3 days. The chief baker in 3 days will be dead. And so it happened 3 days later, which was the Pharaoh's birthday. And some suggest that maybe it wasn't his birthday. It was his coronation day. It was a celebration is the point. I don't know about you, but a birthday to me means cake. It means at least, hopefully, my favorite dish if I can think one up. I don't know about you, but I mean, those things, that's pretty standard. I don't know, I don't care how old you get, how much you don't need new toys, you don't need anything. You can still recognize a person's birthday with cake or whatever kind of baked good they like. Could just be ice cream, I suppose. And what meal would you like? I mean, that was always, for me as a kid, that was a joy because that was the only day you got to know what was being, you know, that was the only day you got to choose. Every other day it was eat what's placed in front of you. But that day you got to say what everybody else had to eat. And so in the same way, here it's a celebration, it's a feast. The two things that go with feasting are food and drink. And so he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He brought them forward. He lifted them up. He brought them out of jail. They're placed in front of everybody. The cupbearer is restored. The baker is hung on a tree. The birds basically come and eat his flesh from him, just as the dream interpreted or depicted with the birds eating out of the basket. Now, in all of this, right there in the middle, after he has told the chief cupbearer the dream, Joseph asks him to do something for him. He says, when you're restored, when you're back in Pharaoh's presence, remember me. I haven't done anything to deserve to be in jail. And in fact, not only that, I was kidnapped and brought here as a slave. I've been mistreated the whole way through. Would you please remember me in front of Pharaoh and get me out of this house? Get me out of this condition, this situation? And then at the very end, as the chief cupbearer is enjoying life and the chief baker is not, the cupbearer did not remember Joseph but forgot him. And I wonder, have you ever felt like you were in a place like that? Where you did something and you feel like I've been forgotten? Where you went out of your way or you've worked hard? You've tried to help somebody and there was never a thank you. And it's almost as if they forgot you. You ever feel forgotten? We can even sometimes feel forgotten by God. I've been in a situation long, Lord, where are you? When are you going to do something? You know, you don't have to be early, but I really don't want you to be late. Where are you? Why have you allowed this to happen? I can think that Joseph would be feeling that way quite a bit. Here he is, he's in jail. We don't know how long. We know that he was taken away at the age of 17. We know that when he is brought before Pharaoh, he is 30. And we know that he's not brought before Pharaoh for another 2 years after this situation. So he's about 28 years old. He has been in slavery and in jail for 11 years. We don't know how long either, you know, we don't know where the dividing line is there. But we know he was a youth of 17. We know by the time he is brought before Pharaoh, he is 30. So he's about 28 years old. And I wonder if he feels like his life is over. He's doing the best he can. He's being diligent and obedient. But I wonder if he feels like his life is over. One of the things I marvel at is how much life there is to live. You know, when you're a kid, when you're younger, you don't realize. But I'm getting close to where people my age are starting to retire out of the military. And that's weird. I don't feel that old. In fact, one of the hardest things for me to go is, you know, is to think back to those majors that were in my life or those captains and think, I thought they were older than they are or they were. You know, now that I'm older than they were at that time. It's odd. But guys and gals my age are starting to retire. And here's the crazy thing is, there is so much life ahead of them. You know? I think about these days, a person could have close to 3 careers in their lifetime if they really wanted to. You know, if you thought of a career being about 20 years, you could do one job from the time that you were 20 to you're 40. You could do another job from the time you're 40 to 60. And who wants to stop when you're 60, for crying out loud? There's plenty of living to do. The point is there's so much life. You know, I remember when I was a little kid and my grandfather and my grandmother were so old. It's been 30 years. I guess they weren't as old as I thought they were. You know, my grandmother's 90 and she's still kicking. Just, it strikes me as how much life there is. And we can get into situations when we're younger when we think it's all over. How will I recover? And here he is, he's a 28-year-old kid, a man, I suppose. How easy it would be for him to think it's all over. What is happening? You can be in your 40s and think it's all over, and by golly, you still got majority of your life ahead of you. Lord willing, good health and all that. How easily it would be for him to think it's all over. And yet the truth is there's so much life ahead. And where you are when you're young doesn't mean that you're going to still be there when you're older. But how easy it would be for him to think, I've been forgotten. And how often do we feel that way? And here's the thing, he is forgotten by the cupbearer. And who can really blame the cupbearer? He's probably ecstatic and happy. And doesn't quite know how to work in. Oh, by the way, there's another guy in jail. Would you let him out, Pharaoh? He probably doesn't want to upset the apple cart. I just got out of jail. I really don't want to mess this up. So it's probably understandable that he forgot. Blessing is he doesn't forget forever. But he's forgotten. He does not remember Joseph. The thing here is, even though we might feel like we have been forgotten at times, the blessing is that God does not forget. It might feel like I haven't been remembered, and notice the language. The cupbearer did not remember Joseph. In Genesis, several times, God remembers. When Noah and his family are in the ark, God remembers Noah and his family, and so he stops the rain, and he sends the wind to knock the water down. When Lot is in Sodom, God remembers Lot and brings him out. When Rachel is barren and Leah is having kids left and right, eventually, finally, God remembers Rachel and she conceives and has a son named Joseph. I love the fact that God remembers. And I love the fact that the writer of Genesis put in the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, because it plays against the fact that God does remember Joseph. And if you need any evidence, now God's not coming to him. We were looking a couple of Wednesday nights ago and we were in Acts and Paul was in jail and Jesus came and stood next to him and said, "Don't be afraid, have courage." And it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if in those moments when you feel like I've been forgotten, nobody remembers me, if God would just show up and say, "I'm still here with you, don't worry, it'll be okay." But most of the time, he doesn't do that. In fact, most of the time in Paul's life, he didn't do that. It was just that one moment that he did it. But what does God do? He shows himself in other ways. And in the main way through here is through the dreams. Why is it that 2 high-ranking people happen to be brought into the jail, put under Joseph's care, And after some time, they both have dreams that confound them, that they need an interpretation for. We're not talking, I showed up in class and I wasn't wearing any clothes dreams. We're not talking about I was flying dreams. We're talking, they knew that these dreams had some meaning to them. What is the point of these dreams? And notice what Joseph said. He said, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me then." And within the dreams, even, I don't know if Joseph necessarily figured this out, but within the dreams, there's God's fingerprints are all over it. The number three. Three is the Holy Trinity. It's one of those, for lack of a better term, it's a God number. Three and seven are big time God numbers in my, anytime I'm reading the Bible and three or seven happens, or alternately also 12 for the nation of Israel, those are things I focus on. If I see a three pop up or a seven, and it can be that the number is used in describing something, or it can just be in repetition. When Jesus would say in to the people around him, "Truly, truly, I say to you," one truly was just a regular given. A truly, truly was bank on it. Nobody ever went to three. Kind of like in the Christmas story, you know, triple dog dare you. Nobody ever went there. The only people that ever repeat something three times are the angels of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When three is used, it's divine. And so when three clusters of grapes show up, and the cup of Pharaoh is mentioned three times, and three the clusters are described as doing three things, budding, blossoming, and producing. When you see three show up that often, it means something. Because he didn't have to have three clusters. He could have just had one cluster. The dream would have still worked out. He could have just mentioned the cup one time. It would have been okay. He could have even said, you know, the cluster produced grapes. But instead, he mentions that it was budding. Its blossoms came out. And it goes through all the steps. The bud, the blossom, and then the grape. He mentions every step of the fruit showing up. Not only that, the baker has the three baskets on his head. The three shows up there too. And so while the chief cupbearer does not remember Joseph, the evidence is there that God remembers Joseph. And it's not, truly the thing is it's not the right time. It is not the time for the cupbearer to remember. It isn't the right time. It's not the opportune moment. The time for Joseph to be brought out of jail is not this day. If he had been brought out of jail this day, nothing much would have happened. Bring him out of jail 2 years later, and the next thing he knows, he wakes up in jail, he goes to sleep, the second highest ranking man in the nation, in one day. Sometimes when we're in a spot when we don't feel like we're remembered, and we want, I don't know about you, I'm in a hurry. I want God to do things quick and expedient and at low cost. So I guess you could say, I don't know about you, but I got fast food faith. I want it my way, now. And that's not the way God works. He's cooking good food. And when he cooks, you got to wait. And you got to trust. And that's what he is doing in our lives. And that's what he is doing in Joseph's life. And so if you're in a spot, if you're ever in a place where you feel like I've been forgotten, he does not remember me. Or you have people in your life around you that do not seem to remember you. And you wonder, is it ever going to be better than this? Is it ever going to change? God remembers. He holds us. And not only that, if we will be patient and look, we could even see evidence of him working in our lives. Even though he doesn't say it outright, that he would be there. It's tough though, isn't it? When you have to sit in jail another 2 years. Some tough stuff. When you have to be patient because it's not the right time. That's some tough stuff. Will we trust God in those moments? Joseph doesn't know what's going to happen to him in 2 years. You know, it's really easy. It's really easy to say, oh, just wait, look at Joseph. Yeah, we know the end of the story. We don't know the end of our stories. We know the ultimate end, but we don't know the end of our circumstances here and today. Can we trust Him knowing the ultimate end, that everything in the middle will be okay? I think so. I just want you to know, God remembers. When everyone around us forgets, as we go through our private and personal pain, as we go through our struggles, there might be people around us that are completely oblivious to what we face, to what we experience, to what we know. God remembers. May we trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and for Your diligence and Your work in our lives. We thank You, Father, for the evidence that You do remember. Oftentimes, You start working before we even notice it. We could be praying for something that is going to happen in a month, and You put things in motion a year ago that will see it through. We thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness, for Your provision in our lives, and we pray that we would trust You, that we would hold on to You. It would be so easy for Joseph to have thought that the cupbearer was his ticket out of jail. How often do we put our faith in those who prove to be faithless? How often do we place our faith in humans and then they fail us? Lord, may we remember, as Joseph needed to remember, that You are our hope. In all of our circumstances, You are our hope. And we trust in You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.